All I can do right now is put on a brave face and go out there and be their leader.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
David Bowe's in for Dory Monson here on 97.3 Cairo FM. And it's time for the biggest part of the show, The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
Top story comes courtesy of the News Tribune of Tacoma. They've got a story about a multi-million dollar technology project, a computer project designed to create electronic healthcare records for Western State Hospital and DSHS. It's several years behind schedule. 4 years later, in fact, DSHS now acknowledges that none of the work has been completed despite $21.8 million being spent for the electronic records at Western State Hospital. Now, remember, Western State Hospital lost some federal funding due to losing their accreditation. What's bizarre about the whole story here, what I find kind of intriguing, is Governor Inslee kind of escapes the entire story. I mean, reading the story, I wouldn't even think that Inslee's administration existed here. It's just kind of a DSHS thing. It's a state government thing. But given Inslee's prominence now for running for the presidency, and you know, he's saying, hey, look at what I do, look at how I manage things, you would think that this would be kind of an Inslee-focused story in some ways. Like, this is not, by the way, it's not like the problems at Western State Hospital and these departments have been, you know, were unknown prior to now, and this is a sudden thing. These are things that have been lingering for a long time. $21.8 million that the state has spent on the project, the company, Cerner, that they contracted with, Cerner Corporation, based out of Kansas City, Missouri, has received $8 million. So there's a lot of the story deals with this contract dispute that are over things that apparently they're not sharing, you know, what the actual disagreement is between the government and the contractor. But the contractor's gotten the minority amount of the money. And again, nothing has been done yet, nothing complete. The remainder of the $21.8 million has been spent in several ways, including salary and benefits for DSHS employees working on the project and professional service contracts, according to a department document. Asked if delays in the project stem from a contract violation, the reply in the email was DSHS is working with its attorneys regarding legal questions like this and cannot comment further at this time. So several years go by, nothing done. $21.8 million spent. The DSHS assistant secretary said the state chose Cerner based on a request for a proposal process that attracted interest from 13 vendors. The state's contract was amended in 2014, which extended the implementation deadline for electronic health records by 4 months. So new deadline, we're going to get these health records in 4 months, from June 30th of 2015 to October 1st of 2015. Of course, that deadline's done. Then there was an additional amendment in May of 2015 that broke the project up into different phases. Under the phased approach, the implementation of priority items was to be completed by October 1st of 2015, and the implementation of all other items was to be completed by September 30th of 2017. Now, here's the shocker. None of those deadlines were met. Now, we knew that because they hadn't actually accomplished anything over the course of several years. But the project, they keep changing the deadlines of the project. And, you know, this is back when they weren't completing things earlier. And now they just gave up changing the deadlines of the project. I mean, it's almost as though somebody said, look, we keep making these amendments, changing deadlines, and nothing's happening anyway. So why don't we just skip that part of the process? We'll save some money on legal fees, and we'll just all acknowledge that nothing's getting done and just keep plowing $21.8 million into something that hasn't been done. So the total of the two contracts now, we did add another contract for when it is done, for the company to upkeep what is done, when it gets done. So now the contract's worth $32 million. Again, asked if the state had considered severing its contracts, the department said, we are committed to putting in an electronic medical record within the Department of Social and Health Services. To that end, we want to continue to work toward that goal. In other words, it's a non-answer answer. And, of course, it all depends on whether or not it's the contractor's fault. In circumstances like these, in the past, I've read where the contractor might get the blame, but it was government officials that kept changing the scope and the details of the project. So essentially, the contractor would have to start over. I don't know if that's the case here. There's not enough information. WATEC, Washington Technology Solutions, is a state agency. They say, spokeswoman Vicky Sheehan says, quote, "We're not privy to the information," which is a question about, you know, what's going on with these negotiations and whose fault it is. We're oversight to make sure the project is going along according to policy. What happens between them and the vendor is between them and the vendor. I don't understand that quote at all. If you've got several years going by and $21.8 million spent, nothing actually complete, where's the oversight on that? That can't possibly be according to the policy. Or if it is according to the policy, something's wrong there. Anyway, this is like King County. Every time government starts to put things on electronic records, I feel like this kind of story pops up because they're kind of confusing and outdated, and they're trying to figure out how to get the old system to jive with the new system. And it seems like it would be better just to start with the more expensive option of like hand entering all the old data in, because it just ends up in such a disaster. So it's a perfect story for the day after the 4th of July, you know, the big scandal of it's almost like, you know, can we pick a day when fewer people are paying attention to government scandal news? You know, maybe the Friday. Let's do the Friday after the 4th of July. Let's let it out there and hope nobody notices. And nobody will, as long as, I guess, Inslee's down in the one percentile. And maybe, you know, if he had decent competition when he's running for governor. Hey, that Starbucks CEO, what's his face? He ought to consider doing the governor run instead of the presidential run if he wants to, you know, have a splash at something. Might be more likely. All right, let's switch to the next.
The Big Lead, Big Local.
A homeless man's been charged with harassing a Seattle police officer. Shock, because many activists say it's the other way around, right? But what is it that Seattle police officers deal with on a semi-regular basis? Well, it's folks like this fella. Prosecutors allege Kevin Ray Beasley threatened to hurt Seattle police officer who was trying to arrest him for an outstanding warrant. First, Seattle police had contacted him based on the number of arrests he's had, and they knew they had a warrant out for his arrest. They said, look, you better get your personal affairs in order because we're going to have to come back and arrest you. And then they saw him again, and apparently this time they said, well, now it's time to arrest you because you got this warrant out. We already warned you. We're trying to do you a solid. And according to the officers, he asked if he would be able to ingest heroin and or other substances before the arrest and or after the arrest, you know, which gives you a little hint into his state of mind and what his priorities are. Police told him no, he's not going to be allowed to ingest heroin or other drugs after his arrest or immediately before.
What a shocker.
Mm-hmm. And now they allege, and of course these allegations are going to have some evidence because the police had their body cams on and specifically told him so. But they say that Mr. Beasley said, quote, "I'll catch you. I know what precinct you work at. I'm going to take both of you out. I'm going to do the U District a favor. It's going to be funny blowing your effing brains all over the windshield." B word. In their contact with Mr. Beasley, they received information he was in possession of a firearm. They asked him if he had the firearm. He said he wasn't stupid enough to keep it on him, but he acknowledged he had access to a firearm, so they take these threats very seriously. They told him he was being recorded. He said, "I don't care. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him." And I said it, B word, again. "I'm not going anywhere because I'm going to wait for the moment I pop both of you right in the eyeball. When I get free, I'm coming for you. I know where you work. That's what I'm planning to do, ride by and burn you." So, again, this charming homeless individual who, you know, clearly is it the home that's missing or is it something else in his life perhaps that's causing him to be the way he is and who he is? And is his addiction to drugs, should that mandate some kind of incarceration, or should you just let a guy like that kind of wander around? And if he's willing to threaten the police that way, what might he be willing to do for other substances? So, you know, again, police officers deal with all kinds of very tough and very dangerous people. And then when they come across somebody else and they're not really sure who it is and they respond in kind of a gruff way, think it would behoove us all to be a little more forgiving toward the occasional, like, I've had officers I felt treat me poorly. Most of them have been great, but there have been a few that have yelled at me or been obnoxious, and I've specifically told them so. Sometimes that's not the best approach, but I do feel like you should have, you know, unless somebody's corrupt, you should have a large amount of grace for somebody who might be a little gruff, because you don't know what they faced earlier in the day. And they're dealing with all kinds of stress and nonsense that you don't have to. And they're specifically trying to save you from it. So good for them. Also, in related news, Seattle detectives from the force investigation team are investigating after a woman was shot by two officers on Wednesday night in the Chinatown International District. There is no disputing on this one. There are reports of a woman with a gun at 12th Avenue South and South Jackson Street. Witnesses say that she had fired some shots. The police said three shots were fired by officers. The woman is alive and in the hospital. Police say she's homeless and doesn't speak English. So there'll be an investigation of that shooting. Again, police are dealing with all kinds of challenges and problems. I'm sure it was fairly traumatic to have that confrontation as well. So if you can be forgiving, do be forgiving. Which leads us to, oh, do we have a cut from that particular?
We have a cut from a witness who was in the International District at the same time that the woman with the gun.
All right, here we are.
She just kind of panicked for a second. And from what I saw, it looked like she was like kind of like, I don't know, you know, what's going on. And then the gunshots, and I just kind of ran and hid behind a car because I was too close for comfort. It was traumatic. Like, all I could hear was her screaming, you know, in pain on the ground. And I'm just like, oh, my God, you know, yeah.
That's witness Talisa Thompson on Cairo 7 television relating her observation in the middle of that madness going on in the China International District. I'm actually surprised it doesn't happen more often with how crazy Seattle is. And, you know, with the level of the non-enforcement that occurs with all kinds of substances that are going to trigger psychoses and other things in people and change behaviors, you know, I think we've been getting lucky. And I don't know how long, and I say that even though I know that there's all kinds of crime that people are dealing with and squaring off with. But I, you know, I look around and I think, how can it not get worse? And that's not a good place to be. But now we turn to the more bizarre.
The Big Lead, Bizarro World.
I saw this video and it just freaked me out. It's on the Daily Mail, of all things. And a guy got into his house. There's a rainstorm in Bali. He went into his house and he saw something on the wall kind of moving about. And if you've ever watched the Alien movies, it looks a little like the hand, the little facehuggers that kind of crawl around.
Ugh.
And it's crawling up on the wall, except this facehugger has wings. And it also, if you watch Stranger Things, which just came out on season 3 on Netflix, started streaming last night, I think.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any of it, so don't tell me.
I'm not watching it till Halloween.
Yeah, gotta wait for some fun. But it looks like the creature in Stranger Things too, except a smaller version. And it is the creepiest, ugliest looking little bug. It's got wings and it's got like three or four long tentacle, looks kind of like fingers hanging down off its abdomen with big hairs all over it. And then the head of it is more like a praying mantis. I mean, you couldn't get a more alien looking creature from the special effects shop at, you know, whoever that, what was the name of that guy who did the Ray Harryhausen. Did the Sinbad and the Jason and the Argonauts, or the Stan Winston who did the Thing with Kurt Russell? It looks like that, and it looks you saw it, right,
John? I'm looking at it right now. It's I don't know how big this is. Like, it looks huge.
It does. Like, it looks like the size of a saucer plate.
It really does. Yeah. And obviously, there's nothing in the video or photo to compare it to anything like the size of a quarter, which I doubt it's the size of a quarter.
No.
It and watching the video and watching the four sort of limbs pulsate and move.
Yes.
It's very disturbing.
I cannot stop itching ever since I saw it. It's the kind of thing where you look at it and your life will never be the same.
Yeah.
It's so horrifying. I mean, if I came home and I saw that on the house, I would say, all right, honey, get the kids. We're burning this house down.
It's, you know, it's one of
the- I am. Don't bother collecting anything. I don't know where the larvae are to this thing.
Right.
But it's all got to go.
It's one of those bugs where It's so big, you can't even imagine stepping on it because you don't want to think of what kind of crunch and ooze and goo will come out of that thing.
I picture that thing with those giant fingers, you know, just attaching itself to your face.
Yeah.
And then the next thing you know, you're writhing around at the dinner table because you got some, you know, alien creatures popping out of your chest. Well, it is a freaky looking creature.
And I, you probably read this part in the article, but here's an explanation for those tentacles. The four pulsing tentacles that are emerging out of this creature's backside, they come out when they feel horny and want to have sexual intercourse with another creature.
It's
very attractive creature. Right. I can see that.
I might have phrased it a different way, but it even makes the whole face-hugging phenomenon worse.
Right.
Because, you know, I'm just saying.
It gives new meaning to the phrase sucking face.
For all you know, for all you know, that little thing's going to fly down, little thing. That giant, hairy, ugly creature is going to fly down. And here's the part that I like the best about the story. Because my reaction was, if I saw that thing in my house, I'm burning the whole house down. It's horrible. It's that ugly. And I'm not arachnophobic. The worst bug experience I've ever had was in college. I heard some rustling on some papers I had laying on my floor, and I thought there was a mouse. So I flipped on the light, and I saw the world's hairiest-looking centipede that had to have been about a foot long scurrying across my floor. And by the way, they were super fast. And then it climbed up my ceiling and disappeared. And I could hardly sleep in my room for a while after that. But
yeah. You know, bugs, they creep me out so much. Even if I feel like there's the tiniest of spiders could be somewhere just hanging out on my arm, and I freak out. So I can't imagine being in a room with this thing.
Me too. Oh, and any spider, no matter how small, is one too many spiders, and it will meet the bottom of my shoe.
You could put me in a bathtub of spiders before I'd want to be in the room with this thing.
Really?
Really?
Can we put that to the test, Dave?
This thing is bad.
A bathtub of spiders.
Yeah, totally.
What kind of spiders?
What kind
recluse?
You want?
Brown
recluse. Well, you know, I don't want to die over it.
Oh, we should have been more specific at the beginning of this.
You know. Well, I mean, as long as you can guarantee I'm not going to get bit in that case. But I'm saying tarantulas, whatever it is. I mean, wouldn't you? I mean,
that would be my worst nightmare.
Well, I would rather be in a room with this than a tub full of spiders.
Not me. This thing is that bad. This thing is the ugliest, grossest thing I've seen. But the best part is the guy who actually lives there, Hari Atoy, who came home, saw this thing, and he said, look, you know, it was very scary. It's an alien-like creature. He shot the video. And then he says, but, you know, it was raining out. They had a monsoon or something there. And he said, so I told the creature that it could stay the night in my house, but it has to leave tomorrow because it just can't stay here. I've got guests.
Yes.
And he thought it might be disturbing to the guests.
I think they named it Fido.
But can you, I'm just picturing me telling my wife that, you know, hey, look, honey, it's raining out pretty badly. So this face-hugging looking strange bug with long hands coming out of its abdomen. Yeah. We're just going
to
leave it here overnight. We're going to treat it like a guest, and then we're going to shoo it away in the morning when it might be a little sunnier out.
So hospitable.
Yeah. Doesn't swat it away. Doesn't kill it. Doesn't capture it. He just lets it spend the night there. Oh, my gosh. We'll post the video somewhere. Where are we posting that?
Well, we don't actually have the right to it since it's owned by the Daily Mail, but we can share the link on Facebook. Yeah. We'll share it on Dory's Facebook.
Share the link on Facebook there, and you can see it for yourself. But I will warn you again. You know,
nightmares for life. Don't watch it.
Yeah, just knowing that creatures out there exist like that is going to freak you out. David Bowes in for Dory Monson here on 97.3 Cairo FM. It's time for our awesome audio of the day, and it's going to be a little it's tough to choose because we've had some good audio today. We've had some audio from, you know, King 5. They ran a great story about a guy, a young fellow from Stadium High School, Vincenzo DiSalvo. He used to be homeless, but now he's going to attend college.
A whole year from my sophomore year, when I moved to Stadium, I was just homeless, and I was, like, sleeping at Jason Lee Middle School, my old middle school I used to go to, just outside by the dumpsters. I guess the reason why I'm here is because, like, at those times when I was sleeping outside, I'd always look at the other stars and just be like, this is my dream. Each of the stars, I would, like, choose all the dreams that I always wanted to do.
So thanks to good teachers, good classmates, and some good counselors, he went from sleeping in the dumpsters outside of his middle school to being involved in sports and drama throughout the school, and is now headed to college. And I just love that story. So a lot to choose from here for awesome audio today, but let's get to it.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio. Clips of the day.
A Georgia 7-year-old, Aiden McCullough, has become a hero to his 20-year-old sister. She was at the edge of a pool when a disaster struck. Action News in Jacksonville, Florida covered the story.
And then how did you know what to do, Aiden?
I don't know. I just done it.
Only Action News Jack's Christy Turner spoke to the siblings and also tells you how 7-year-old Aiden is now embracing his inner hero.
7-year-old Aiden McCollum and his 20-year-old sister Morgan Smith are very close.
I love my sister a lot.
Now their bond is unbreakable.
That's my hero, my angel.
Your brother.
My brother.
The siblings were swimming in the pool at their home in Brantley County, Georgia last week when Smith suddenly had a seizure.
I was thinking like, oh my God, she's gonna die.
Aiden says his instincts kicked in. He grabbed his sister by the hair and held her head above water.
I would have drowned.
This is a picture of the siblings embracing each other after the horrifying incident. Smith says her brother is brave.
I know that there are real life angels because I'm lucky enough to call him mine. And I have an everyday superhero in my life.
Aiden is embracing his new role as a real life superhero.
Do you think you're a hero?
Yes, I do.
Smith says she's thankful Aiden was in the right place at the right time and ready to step in to help when she needed her little brother the most.
I love you and you are forever my hero. And every day, I'm only more thankful that I get to call you my little brother. Since he always loves you.
Always do.
Just, I love how the siblings respond to each other there. It's good stuff. And I love how, you know, the sister's voice is just cracking the whole time as she talks about her brother. And I'll tell you what, for a 7-year-old, I was about six or seven years old when I saw my mom have a seizure like that. And it was grand mal seizure where she just, you know, kind of, she let out this blood-curdling scream at a dentist's office and then just threw her head back and started shaking around. And I mean, it was absolutely terrifying to witness. And so guessing from this kid when she has, you know, she totally blacks out and starts writhing around, that it was probably really terrifying to see his sister react that way. And it would have been easy for him to back away to try to figure out what's going on. Mm-hmm. But great instincts there to keep her head above water, even if it meant pulling her hair, you know. Just grabs her hair, holds her head above water, and that's really all she needed. Water actually probably was one of the best places for her to have the seizure because they're moving around and can flail and
hurt their limbs. She didn't fall on the ground.
Right. Yeah. She's not hitting hard things. She's just splashing around. And he was able to keep his sister from drowning. Then afterward, they're very tired, exhausted from the experience. So, you know, great little story, and I love hearing the close relationship of the siblings there from Action News in Jacksonville, Florida. And, of course, we all celebrated the 4th of July, the celebration of the nation, yesterday, last night. And, you know, there were some celebrations, at least two Americans that were able to celebrate, and they're basically out of this world, as they say, on Q13 Fox.
Greetings from the International Space Station. I'm NASA astronaut Christina Cook, along with my NASA crewmate, Nick Haig. As we orbit our planet high above you, we want to take a moment and wish all Americans at home and around the world a very happy 4th of July.
It's an incredibly exciting time for spaceflight in America. From the completion of the first flight in the Commercial Crew Program to the unveiling of the bold plan to send the first woman and the next man to the moon by 2024. This is a unique moment in history in which we can cast our eyes to the sky and to the heavens and be proud to be an American.
Through history, our flag has traveled with humans and robots to the farthest reaches of the solar system as American ingenuity and leadership has pushed the boundaries of what's possible through grit, determination, and imagination. And on this Independence Day, we're now on the verge of American astronauts, engineers, scientists, and commercial companies taking the next giant leap for humankind.
So, on behalf of the crew of the International Space Station and NASA, we want to wish everyone a fabulous and safe Independence Day. And we wish to extend our special thanks to the servicemen and women stationed around the world who are celebrating this 243rd birthday of our great country. Happy 4th of July, everyone.
So our two crew members of the space station, they're decked out in stars and stripes. They've got all the regalia of somebody you might see at a 4th of July parade. They got a big American flag in the background, and they're wishing us a happy 4th. I just found that there's something fantastic about the fact that we have people that are in orbit in space saying, you know, reminding us of something that happened, you know, a couple hundred years ago where – you know, about the birth of the nation, about the birth of the United States of America, celebrating our independence, just shows how far we've come as a people. And and time is really short. I mean, when you think about the blink of a human eye, that is the American history, the fact that we've got a couple of people in space makes you wonder what's going to happen, you know, in 200 years from now or 250 years from now. What new accomplishments will we have, and what new triumphs will technology bring and American ingenuity? And, you know, it's exciting to think about. If you're a glass half full kind of person and you're wondering what's possible, it's the kind of thing that, like the homeless kid that is described in the King 5 report, you know, you're looking up at the stars and wondering what's next. And who knows, maybe he'll be a part of it. That would be exciting.
Maybe they'll be saying happy 4th of July from Mars.
That's what I was thinking, too. It's always possible. And that, of course, brings us to the top of the game in the Awesome Audio Department.
Oh, are we going to play the sounder for once here, Dave?
Yes.
We haven't played the last two. Should we play the first, number one?
I thought you did play the last
two. Oh, my gosh, I haven't.
No, you totally did.
I did not.
You played number two and three, or three and two.
I didn't, Dave.
Didn't you?
No.
Did he not?
Well, you know what? Let's play number one.
I thought you did.
Number one.
Oh, you know, you could have just stepped on me a little bit, Sean, and just played it. But, you know, Sean channeled his inner Nicole Thompson and just decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to wait to the end. And then
yeah.
I'm going to take out my passive-aggressive nature on poor
Nicole. Dave. Nicole gave me permission to do that.
She just said, you know what? Just poop on him at the end.
Yeah,
that's
what she said.
Oh, well, no. If it helps, in my mind, I heard the sound.
That's great. So did I.
I heard it.
In my mind.
We all heard it.
All right. So yesterday was the great, as the critics were calling it, the Trump 4th of July celebration. Trump was calling it the salute to America. How did it end up?
As we gather this evening in the joy of freedom, we remember that all share a truly extraordinary heritage. Together, we are part of one of the greatest stories ever told, the story of America. It is the epic tale of a great nation whose people have risked everything for what they know is right and what they know is true. It is the chronicle of brave citizens who never give up on the dream of a better and brighter future.
It turned out the 4th of July speech from the president was a 4th of July speech about America. It was a 4th of July speech about what's good about the country. Now, there was one moment that was a bit more problematic for the president, and that was when he started to ad lib when he was getting all passionate about describing the American Revolution.
The Continental Army suffered a bitter winter of Valley Forge, found glory across the waters of the Delaware, and seized victory from Cornwallis of Yorktown. Our army manned the airport. It ran the ramparts. It took over the airports. It did everything it had to do. And at Fort McHenry, under the rocket's red glare, it had nothing but victory.
If you didn't catch it, the Revolutionary Army took over the airports, stopped the British Airways. It's going nowhere. Anyway, that was good fun. A lot of fantastic internet memes happening based on that. You've got George Washington and the crew crossing the Delaware. They're now at the airport waiting.
Anyway, Heathrow Airport.
Yeah. It was his 57 states moments. Dory's Awesome Audio is brought to you by Brown Bear Car Wash. Welcome back to the Dory Monson Show. David Bowe's filling in on this holiday weekend Friday. It's the end of the show, the final segment, which means it's time for...
Today's sign that the end is near.
Scary stuff. Turns out, well, the scary stuff is Twitter, because there's a whole lot of folks upset with Hillary Duff, who's the kind of celebrity where I didn't think you could get upset with Hillary Duff. She's just... seems like such a sweet kid. even though now she's, what, in her 30s, she's a mom, you know, she still looks like, you know, just a young little fresh-faced fella, and she's showing off her baby, and you've got a bunch of Twitter people furious at her, accusing her now of child abuse, of mutilation. Why? Because she's got a big picture of your cute little kid, and it says she has enough hair for a pony. Kid barely, you know, they just spiked her hair with a rubber band. And it says, oh, yes, and we pierced her ears. So the kid wearing the banana pants has earrings. Now, I'm no fan of pierced ears on babies. I know, I think one of my sisters did it. Not sure, I can't recall now. But anyway, this kind of thing, it's a bit weird for me. I'm not really into it. But at the same time, you know, to go online and say this person is now abusing their child, they're just horrible, let's everybody just jump on board and say that they should have their child taken away, and let's all persecute Hillary Duff. I mean, give me a break. As a society, you're willing to just challenge their parental skills like that and just say, okay, you know, it's not in the bizarro realm of things that people have done. It's been done for a long time. You know, like I say, I feel like there's too many people in a hurry to have their kids grow up, and it's going to happen fast enough anyway. So I don't understand why they're doing it so early. You know, but there's plenty of time to wait for them to be a teenager. I generally agree with folks that say, well, you know, shouldn't she make that decision later? Wouldn't that be better? Yeah, I think so. But I'm not her parent, and Hillary Duff is. And so, you know, the kid looks really happy, looks really healthy. Sounds like they're taking care of her educational needs. Like I say, I don't think it's best. I think it's probably unethical for the person, you know, doing the piercing, unless they did it themselves. I think my grandma used to do it herself, you know, like sterilize the needle, do that type of thing.
With the apple?
I don't know. Maybe potato, I think. A potato. Ugh. But anyway, but the whole thing is, look, I'm all for people saying, you know what, Hillary, I disagree with this, or I feel differently. This kind of this bothers me or whatever. What I don't like is how everybody goes from 0 to 100. It's like, all right, I saw something that offended me and I disagree with it. Now I want this person to never have a job. I want them to lose their kids. I want them to go to prison. And, you know, all this kind of thing. It's just a total freak out. So, you know, again, some of the critics might have a point. But the fury with which you make it is less now. It's not as convincing because you're kind of changing the topic from, you know, the rights and wrongs of what's going on to just kind of an overall mob-like frenzy trying to make this person's life miserable. And I don't see the benefit of that for anybody at this point. Second sign that the end is near, we get from France. Sean, just to make sure, there's no sounder that I'm supposed to just delay for, right?
No, thank God. We're good.
Because I didn't want Nicole's spirit to possess you and have you get mad at me again.
Well, you're in all next week, right?
Yes.
So we still have a week of possessing.
Plenty of time.
Yeah.
Plenty of time.
Possessing.
Yeah, she can do some astral projection, get that fury going. Out of France, French Michael Jackson fans are suing the Leaving Neverland accusers, Wade Robson and James Safechuck, who occur in that Michael Jackson documentary, Leaving Neverland, where they accuse the singer of serial sexual abuse in the documentary. The lawsuit accuses them of unfairly harming the reputation of the King of Pop, based on a French law that prohibits speaking ill of the dead. And I just look at that and I think, okay, if what they say is true, and I watched the movie, the documentary, and it certainly has its merits. And by the way, if it were anybody else who was not famous and didn't have great music, you know, that people loved, and you were saying, hey, look, what's he like to do? Well, he's built a kid's playground on his home, and he loves to get kids separated from their parents and spend weeks on end. And he's got a little secret room, and, you know, he likes to have them sleep in his bed and all that. You know, alarm bells would go off. So the fact that the French courts are going through with this lawsuit, they're not seeking a lot. They want €1 of damages. So basically, a buck, maybe it's 90 cents, maybe it's $1.10. I don't know what the exchange rate is now. But all in all, it's they just want the acknowledgement that they're wrong for harming the man's reputation. You know, it might be worth actually watching the video, taking a step back and thinking, well, maybe you're wrong to have his reputation quite as high as it is anyway. Maybe that's the direction to go on that one. And finally, the viral video of the young woman who licked the top of a Blue Bell ice cream container. Went viral. She could face 20 years in prison, $10,000 in fines. Well, 2 to 20 years in prison, $10,000 in fines. Turns out she's 17. They did locate her. She's a minor, and she'll probably end up facing some charges for licking the tin roof flavored ice cream, putting the lid back on, and then putting it on the shelf. People keep saying, how can it possibly happen?
Put it back. Put it back. Put it back. Put it up and lick it. Lick it. Oh, you foul. Put it back. Put it back. Put it back. Put it back. Oh,
that guy too. The guy encouraging. Just gross. Baby, I
love Rocky Road. Oh, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.